This is the Women with Vision podcast, where we get real with some of the leading entrepreneurial superwomen about what it takes to build a business online and beyond with kids, husbands, and everything else.
Hey there, superwomen. I'm excited today to have this conversation with my next guest, Molly McLaughlin, because what she does, I think a lot of people are really suffering from this sleep deprivation and problems with sleep and stress and anxiety. And she is the creator of Sleep is a Skill, which is a company that optimizes how people sleep through a unique blend of technology, accountability, and behavioral change. So I'm excited. Molly, how are you?
I am good. Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad, you know, we had some conversations back and forth and kind of aligned outlook on a number of things. So I'm excited to dive in deeper with you today.
Yes. Where are you from? What part of the country?
So right now I'm actually in Nevada at the moment, but normally, so we have a place here in Vegas and then also in New York. And, but was originally from Maine and went to school in Syracuse. So kind of, newer to the West Coast and loving it so far. All the sun is great for sleep.
Yes. Yes. You know, I'm from the East Coast as well, or I should say Midwest more. Cincinnati, went to college in Chicago, and the West Coast, I think, you know, the way, the sun helps with, you know, with not so much stress, right? Cause I'm really definitely that person who needs the sun to, for the mood, right?
Same. Yep.
Yes. So, well, I love this because you said the company was born from scratching your own itch.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. With a lifetime of poor sleep habits that culminated. So tell me a little bit about that.
Sure. Yeah. So my relationship to sleep and why I felt just compelled to create this company was from a place of, for the majority, the big bulk of my life, I just related to my sleep as, I'm just not the best sleeper. No big deal. I'm a night owl. I can make my own schedule though. So I'll wake up later and it's fine. It's not a problem. Not connecting though, getting sick, getting stressed, getting anxious, getting all the, you know, the beginnings of an ulcer, all these things.
Right.
And really, not making that link up until I went through my own bout of insomnia, which I had never experienced up until this point, when my boyfriend and I, who we both have online companies, and we decided to take on being digital nomads. And so we added jet lag into the mix kind of burnout. And that's when I really experienced that first time of, I just can't sleep. And it was this maddening experience. I literally went to the doctors in Croatia with a Google Translate and just must have looked quite a fright to them. Like, it says, hey, I can't sleep. And so what they did was they gave me their version of Ambien and sent me on my way. And it was one of those moments of, you know, kind of holding the prescription of, this can't be my life. Like, what is, and also just from, it was, you know, none of these things happen in a vacuum. This was a number of things that just weren't working. And, the management of my life, the stress management, the work, the business, the responsibilities, all the things, and it just kind of hit this tipping point of, something's got to shift, but I didn't know how. So, and I did feel alone in the whole process because I didn't know where else to go. I'd gone to the doctors, they gave me this prescription, and that was the end of the approach. So, it occurred for me, like, in order to change this, I was going to really need to take these matters into my own hands or be sent down a path of kind of, taking a pill to sleep. So, I really went deep down the rabbit hole on this topic and became so fascinated. And also just from a place of, why aren't we all kind of doing these things? Why aren't we all talking about this? Cause I certainly didn't know a ton of things in the world of chronobiology and circadian rhythms and infradian rhythms and all these things that we can do to help make a difference with our sleep. And, the other side of life now, knowing what there is to do to, or some of the many things that there are to do to make a difference in our sleep has just been transformative. And now it's built this whole world around it where I get to work with other people on the same, on, you know, that mission for them, but also creating community and accountability and so many things to help move the needle.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's interesting because I think the first time we talked, I was, and I don't even think I mentioned this, I was in the middle of like having some issues with sleeping. And I think when you mentioned, you know, a lot of times it's an indicator of something else that you need to shift, something else is off balance. And I at that moment I go, yep, I'm staying up because I'm anxious or worried about this specific area. That means I need to get an assistant for that area.
Yes. I love that. So you found an action. Yay. Oh, that brings me such joy. I love that.
That was literally from our conversation, because right after we had that, I go, you know, that is right. I am off balance right now.
Oh, that's amazing. And then you being the type of person to actually set the wheels in motion to take action on that, and don't, you know, not categorizing into a, well, someday maybe, but actually taking those steps, that's a different life. So that's
amazing.
It's
a different life. And it's important that you really become self-aware, right? And action-oriented. And your self-care is very important.
Mm. Oh my goodness. Yes, it really is. And I honestly did not prioritize that, obviously, by how things, the course that I was taking. And now one of the many things that I've gotten as kind of a breakthrough in these different areas came from that knowingness that it's not even like a, oh, wouldn't that be nice, or like a luxury. It becomes just a very important part of, particularly for entrepreneurs and for women that are in these leadership roles, and all people, but just in maybe in this conversation, it becomes even just a crucial kind of non-negotiable, so that we can take on and expand the aperture of what we are accomplishing in our days and our lives without having it be kind of like the short kind of candle flame of going, like, you know, burning brightly and then going out, essentially.
Right. That's right. That's right. There's so many things that people are anxious about right now. What are you finding that's coming up for, you know, when you're talking to people or talking to experts? What are you seeing that's coming up for people as far as stressors? And then the next question is, what are some things that people can do?
Mm, great question. Yeah, I absolutely would say, as well, probably many of us could imagine, that in the face of the pandemic, lockdowns, uncertainty, financial stressors, all that is happening across the globe right now, I've experienced a number of people that even hadn't really thought of themselves as having difficulty with sleep, now having difficulty with sleep, and, you know, really at their wits' end of what to do about it. So what I've seen is that this relates to many people that have difficulty falling asleep or staying asleep, is that kind of hyper-aroused brain state. So when our brain is kind of on overdrive and we're having that difficulty to turn it off. And of course, from a cultural anthropological perspective with sleep, you know, some of just the foundational elements are to feel Maslow's hierarchy of needs, kind of that we're safe, that we're secure, that everything, you know, we'll have food and shelter. And unfortunately, with so many people at experiencing such high stress levels, and maybe for some people, questions around some of those basic needs, then the ability for the brain to kind of turn off and shift over from sympathetic to parasympathetic is much more challenged now. So what a number of things that we'll do to help support the kind of retraining or the skill set to be able to tap into that parasympathetic response is multifold. You know, of course, if you want to go, sleep as a skill is meant to be this intersection around technology, accountability, and behavioral change. So there are lots of gadgets if we want to bring about a new way of looking at something that's pretty old, which is just actually that ability to be at the source of even our HRV rates, which is our heart rate variability, but also as it relates to our breathing. And so bringing a sense of coherence to that. So there's some gadgets like HeartMath is one that's one's been around for quite some time. There's the Muse headband, which will see what brain states you're getting into during your meditation and kind of help train you to access deeper points of relaxation at will. And not even just relaxation, but just that sense of calm and peace, which is obviously sort of necessary in that realm of sleep. So if we train that during the day, we can also mirror that in the evenings. And then along with that, there's a lot of behavioral elements that we can do to help support, because of course with the lockdown, many people are finding themselves inside more regularly. And with that, that can cause a whole bout of physiological problems that impact sleep. So if you're low on vitamin D, not getting yourself outside consistently, the fresh air, because really when we're inside in small spaces, we're breathing recycled air. And so there's a number of things that then can lower our overall health and well-being. We're not exercising, you know, so a lot of it, when we bring it through the lens of sleep, then what I've found is that often people are more willing to do what it takes versus like, I know I should go work out or I should. Right. But when it comes from this place of, okay, this will really help support and move the needle in my sleep, now I'll do that thing. Yes. Yeah. And then of course, and there are some things when, if we pull back, we know this to be true, but when we see the stats, it can help actually make the difference, is things like, drinking alcohol sales are really up right now. And that will just obliterate sleep. Unfortunately, believe me, I've tried to hack just about every possible way. and I do have tricks, but most of them, it's almost impossible to not see the signs of alcohol show up on your sleep stats or your health and well-being throughout your sleep stages. And then of course, when we get tired out, then we tend to, many people go to coffee to wake us up, and then that can create this kind of snowball relationship. And then all those things can set off a hormonal imbalance. So that's where we might look at people's, how their hormones are functioning and get some lab work done, understanding cortisol levels, how those are flowing, or maybe for some people just not working that have just been so overly taxed. Right. So there are a number of things that we can do. And once we have more awareness and it's more in the forefront, then we can start to take new actions to support our sleep.
Yeah. And one of them probably is not Ambien, right?
Yes. That's so, oh my God. Yep. So the hypnotics, which is in the class of Ambien, the benzodiazepines, which unfortunately, what I tend to find is that some of my older clientele that post, retirement age, and they're coming through, and they have, and I say that this generationally because it seems as if it was handed out years back a bit more casually. Yeah. And so now they're dealing with the after effect of that and still being beholden to that. But unfortunately, some of those benzodiazepines, and being mindful to educate ourselves that a lot of the antidepressants that are out on the market are impacting sleep architecture. So yeah, it becomes a big area to get connected to and get aware of. And of course, everything I'm saying, by the way, is zero judgment, because like I said, I was doing all the things wrong for ages. So
me too. I've done a lot of the wrong things trying to figure it out, started getting a whole thing around Tylenol PM and,
oh sure.
Yeah. Yep. Trying to figure it out. Benadryl. And, yep. Recently, after getting the assistant and starting to make it a priority to walk every single day, no matter how busy I am, it's like, it's in the schedule that has to happen. And that has really helped. Like you're saying, vitamin D, getting your vitamins and supplements more in order, making sure you're eating right. Certain foods will start upsetting your stomach and your digestion, so now you can't settle down. A lot of different things that you're saying, but I've done a lot of the wrong things first to start figuring that out.
Same. Yes, absolutely. And I do think, just the understanding that there are so many things that many people, and myself included, just for years just was not aware that would be creating such a impact. Mm-hmm. For instance, things like late night eating. And, you know, and when I say that, people might say, well, of course, I'm not eating like right before I'm falling asleep. And so then they'll think that doesn't apply to them. But what we find with a lot of these trackers is that even if it's, you know, 2 hours before bed, we can see the difference. Even sometimes if it's 3 hours before bed. So a newer recommendation is beginning to emerge around testing out at least around 4 hours before bed, which for many people would be a major mix up of their day. So I do advocate for people to be doing some weird things. I know it's very counterintuitive, but if you think about how life was for thousands of years, hunter-gatherer days,
right?
When the sun would set, we were not doing a whole heck of a lot post, you know, there's maybe a fire, maybe later in later years, candles, what have you, but this way of living where, which is what I used to do, popcorn, Netflix, wine,
right,
late into the night. You know? It's like no hunter-gatherer was ever doing that. You'd be incredibly weird. You'd probably be tossed out of the tribe.
Right. That's right.
You're doing that wandering around 2 a.m. That would be very strange.
Right. So. Why are you doing all this stuff? Go to bed. You know, yeah. Stop making this noise.
Exactly.
That is so funny. So after all of this, right, there's one thing to get really inspired about by your own sleep needs, right? But there's a whole nother thing to get inspired to start a business around that. So what inspired you to start the business?
Yeah, great question. So what ended up happening was, if you can't tell my speaking, you'll probably, you know, by the end of this conversation, tell that I'm a pretty obsessive personality. I have a newsletter called Molly's Monday Obsessions. Like I just, I go down the rabbit hole and I'm like down, deep.
Yeah.
and then because I think it was just such a huge part of my story of my life, and it changed the course of my trajectory, then I really couldn't stop talking about it. And so then I organically started just working with people because I was so empathetic because I knew how hard it was for me at that time. Yeah. And so just, you know, let's work on this. Have you tried this? Have you, blah, 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 you know, just doing it that way. But then from that organic way of working with people, then it started to grow and did small groups. And then, and now it's just emerged to an online training course, podcasts, all kinds of things have emerged from this place of just seeing the results that are possible for people in on a multi-area of life perspective. So, you know, I often call it the Trojan horse effect when we're talking about sleep, because many times we'll go in on the topic of sleep, but what we'll find is in order to make a difference with our sleep, there's so many areas that we have to kind of clean up to bring workability back to that area. And yeah, it kind of goes back to this framework that so that we'll speak to called the sleep tripod. And it's about having three areas of that tripod in working order, kind of your psychology, physiology, and environment. And as we begin to restore balance to all that, just our lives often shift in ways that allow for our body to tap into that rest and digest state that it, for a lot of people, is more foreign to them, unfortunately. It certainly was for me.
Yeah.
And yeah, so to answer that original question, I think it made such a transformation, and it became so evident that people weren't speaking about these things in the same way. And I was doing a lot of weird things, you know, with like the blue blockers, and I'm doing red lights, and I've got, you know, this sleep gadget, that sleep gadget, and just the right amount of information that can be gleaned from that, and the difference in sleep quality and health markers. It just became this unequivocal thing that I think can really help make a difference in so many people's lives.
Right, right. What do you think the biggest hurdle has been for you to overcome, and what did you learn business starting?
Sure, in starting the business, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think for one, trusting myself, which, you know, even goes back to sleep. I think at that point, in my lowest point, I couldn't even trust myself to be able to fall asleep and just know that it would work out and have that peace of mind. And so I think that that's something that I'm really grateful to be gaining more of a mastery around. And I think it will be continued a life kind of endeavor to right. really get that. But I think that that becomes, as an entrepreneur, just crucial. And then also the hurdle of I'm speaking about sleep. And here I am growing, expanding as an entrepreneur. So I really need to walk my talk and ensure that I can, you know, proof is in the pudding, show my sleep stats, show all this, and that really right. maintain workability and balance and not have things, you know, spiral off like it had the first time when as an entrepreneur. So really, I think not only just saying it, but the being it and the doing yes. it. So that,
that would not be good if you now are a sleep expert and the stress of the sleep expertise.
Yeah, exactly. That's not sleep. Good. No, you can't do that one. Exactly. And that's in, because part of the whole thing is being able to show like, okay, look what's possible. So you right. want to be able to point to, you know, this readout, that readout, you know, the whole thing. So, but it actually is really, for me, I'm grateful because it well suits my personality because it's a fun area that you get to continually up level and try new things. And it, there's such a puzzle effect too, to, as you go into different environments. And so particularly as a digital nomad, for about 3 years prior to the lockdown, this has been the longest we've been stationed in one spot mm-hmm. for a while. But prior to that, you know, it would be so cool because with all these different trackers, I'd be going to different environments and getting to see how that impacts my sleep. Right. And it's really eye-opening how different places and spaces and air quality and temperatures and all of that can really either really support your sleep or, you know, create a challenge that you then have to figure out how to overcome that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
it's helpful.
Well, you haven't always had it easy either. It's not like it's, you know, been easy enough to just like, oh yeah, I'm going to just start this business. You know, I'm learning something, but you've had to deal with poverty. You've had to live life-threatening car accidents, some health breakdowns. So tell me a little bit about that and what did you learn and overcome it?
Oh, great question. Yeah. Growing up, I grew up to young parents. You know, my mom was 19 when she had me and in Maine and just not a lot of money, really experienced many, many times when, you know, it's ramen or bust. And I think going through that kind of background that on the plus side, it's really allowed me to have this sense that things it's up from here. Yeah. You know? So on that perspective, that has really been great. And also I do think creates some level of character and that I feel like I do have the ability to relate with a number of people. And particularly then going to a college where I was surrounded by a lot of wealth and often feeling out of place with that, but then being able to bridge that gap too. So be able to also see how to work well, you know, with other people that did come from more, because originally that was a challenge for me. It really had a lot of stories about, well, they don't know what it's like. And
right.
right. overcoming that. And the car accident was a real opportunity to be grateful. I mean, the way that when it was like airlifted out of it, I still have metal in me.
Wow.
Of my back looks like I was like whipped, you know, 'cause went through the sunroof. It was wild. And yet, one of the things I think that it's helped support is I'm almost on my 2000th day of daily gratitude emails to friends and family. And oh my goodness, because, you know, there's certainly were times throughout that when it would be like holding, you know, like about to write the email and okay, what do I got? I got nothing. But right. you'd have to, and of course, there's always a ton
something.
Of things to
yeah,
be grateful
always.
For, you know, just our own blockage of not seeing it temporarily. So yeah. I do think that that kind of meditation of, you know, grateful for this, grateful for that, you know, even if it's something at the time, very small, can help seep into your brain and help make a difference with the kind of wiring process to seek out gratitude a bit more.
Yeah. It can also just settle you down. And, you know, if you're like, if you're just wired up, like, you know, this all sucks and everything sucks and why did this have to happen to me? How are you going to sleep?
Yes, you're so right. Oh my goodness. Yes. And I will, you know, be real. Like I, as growing up, you know, I would have different parts of like a victim mode of, like, you know, this is so much harder than this other person and da da da. And unfortunately it's just not a good recipe for, to your point, to sleep.
It really isn't.
Overcoming all that and continuing to overcome all that, you know, and of course we're all on a continuing journey, but,
all on a, yeah. Important.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all a whole, it's a whole journey, right?
Yes.
how do you stay motivated? And I would imagine that a lot of what you're doing, helping people, seeing people get results, seeing people, now, you know, be in a place where they couldn't sleep and now they're like, wow, Molly, that really worked. That's probably a bit motivating as well. But what are some other ways that you stay motivated?
Great question. Well, I will say that one of my favorite nerdy metrics is heart rate variability, which I think I might have alluded to that one, but to give it more context, basically heart rate variability is our one metric that we can kind of point to as of right now to best put a snapshot on how our autonomic nervous system is processing both the world around us and internally. So if we are getting really stressed, if we're overdoing it, if we're burning ourselves out, you'll see that number really tank. Yeah. And when we are, when things are really kind of working, we're able to tap into that kind of peace of mind and, but also power and knowing that we can have a say in how our lives go and all those things. But it also, it even looks at so many things that we might overlook that could be kind of robbing us of power, whether it's types of foods, alcohol, caffeine, all of that stuff will show up in this one number. So getting to see also clients improving on that number and basically it can almost speak to that ability for them to have a less stressful experience for their body and for their nervous system and to be able to have some say in how it's going versus it just being like a frantic energy or flying off the radar with that, at, you know, if whatever comes their way, whatever circumstances, mm-hmm. stuff with business, what have you. It's so to see that I think is very rewarding. And it's also really rewarding for myself as I do lots of different experiments, try, you know, different exercises, ways of eating, you know, mindsets, different environments, you know, different partnerships, different things that I'm doing. I get to see what impact that's having, both if it's working or not working, or what needs to be adjusted through even just that one metric. Of course, it's a very nerdy answer, I know, but
that's good. No, I mean, I like that answer because, you know, you learn how to be motivated by everything, every little thing. Right. Yeah. And even though that's like technology, but it's like a thing to say, yes, it's
absolutely
working, right.
Yeah, exactly. It's like validating or like then you'll, cause it's so finicky that it's never really done. So there's always more that you can do to make a difference or to up level. So I think it's just a cool thing to have in our toolbox of personal development.
Yes. Well, Molly, I think you're amazing. I love what you're doing. I love that you're working with something right now that people really do need. And so how can we find you?
Number one, thank you so much for saying that. And I really am so grateful that we have gotten to get more and more connected. So this has been very, very cool. So thank you so much for saying that. And as far as to be more in this conversation around sleep, sleepisaskill.com is really a great bucket to go for all the things. So it kind of houses, you can get a downloadable PDF where for free, which will look at your optimized bedroom and kind of has a almost like a paint by numbers of different things that you can do to shift the space to help support your sleep. But then it will also sign you up for weekly newsletters, which I call like the most obsessive sleep newsletter on the planet. So that comes out every Monday. We just hit, this week will be our 101st edition. So that so we do that every Monday. So that's been really cool, and getting to, and we really encourage feedback and, you know, things that are working for you, that you're testing with your sleep, or things that you want to share, or challenges or what have you. There's also a sleep assessment on there. And then we do have the podcast and different interactive courses and all kinds of stuff there too. At whatever level you're at with your sleep, there's definitely things we can do to help make a difference.
Awesome. Well, Molly, thank you so much for coming, and I look forward to collaborating and get to know you much better.
Oh, me too. I appreciate you.